Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God I would lay on your hearts this morning comes from the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, verses 1 to 3 and 8 to 16 as follows. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sands which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So far the Holy Word. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed, a helping hand. That's what a lot of people need over in Kamiai, and where the wildfires are raging in Grangeville and over in the Cascades and many places in the Pacific Northwest. A helping hand. And here we are in the valley, nice clear skies, no fires burning. But even if we wanted to help, actually get over there and pitch in and help fight fires, chances are you wouldn't be allowed to go where the fires are raging the worst. They don't let you in because they don't want anyone risking their lives who isn't trained. So we have this kind of helpless feeling as we get calls from our friends and family, and we worry and fret over what's happening out there. It's frightening and it's exhausting. But here in our text for today, we have a powerful weapon. We have an extra hand, an helping hand, called faith. Faith that clings to God's words and promises. Faith that, just like if you had an extra hand that could help, does great things. Because that faith which God created and put on your heart like an extra hand believes in God's promises of prayer. You've heard it said, prayer is the least and the most we can do. It is the least we can do, is pray for people who are going through hard times. But it is also the most we can do. And the only way to believe that, even when our hearts tell us we want to get there and physically help, if you can't, pray. And your faith, which is a real thing, a present which God has laid on your heart, often through baptism or through the hearing of his word, your faith, which is the definition here in verse 1, believes that prayer does great things. It believes that passage from James that says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Our faith is what believes that God hears those cries from our heart to help family and friends. Our faith is what believes and trusts that God always hears and always answers every one of our prayers. And it's not just prayers. It's everything else that we need to get through in this life. God has done wonderful things for us and gives us great spiritual gifts. And faith is one of them. I mean, think of it. Before you had faith, God gave the world, out of steadfast love and mercy, a wonderful gift. His Son, He sent his son down here to take on human form, placed him under the law, under the Ten Commandments and all the other laws of God to keep it perfectly. Why? So that he could take the perfect sacrifice to the cross to pay for every one of your sins and mine and the whole world. And Jesus, out of love, did just that for you and me before we were ever born, before we had faith. All the earthly needs that you have been given your whole life long, who has provided those things? Well, the Lord has. Sometimes he does it through his representatives, like when you're young and your parents feed you and clothe you and house you and send you to school and take care of you. But then you're off on your own. And it's not like you're doing it. The God of our fathers, he opens his hand and satisfies the desires of every living thing. He owns everything. The world is his. He made it. And he provides for you, his children. That's just some of the spiritual, the truths that our faith believes. Sometimes we forget those truths, and that's why it's good to have a text like this before us today. These verses from Hebrews chapter 11 starts out with a definition of what faith is. Since you can't see faith, the holy writer to the Hebrews here tells us how you know you have faith. He says in verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So God's gift of faith has a definition, and here it is. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Well, that kind of sounds like a riddle, doesn't it? But it really isn't. Faith is a thing. It's a present. It's not how you live your life. That's not it at all. Or it's not you doing the believing. That's not it at all. Faith is a present that God creates and puts on your heart. And what it does is it believes and trusts and accepts God's words and promises. Kind of like if you had that extra helping hand that God created, called it faith, put it on your heart, and it just believes things. It believes God's word. So you know you have faith. You know you have that substance called faith when you hope for what God promises. And this is not the wishy kind of hope where I hope you have a nice day or I hope you feel better. This is Christian hope. Christian hope is the certainty that all of God's promises are true. Christian hope is the rock-solid assurance that what God says is going to happen, happens. That's Christian hope. It's a certainty. That if you're certain about the fact that Jesus died on the cross, and it is a fact, if you're certain about that, then see, you got that substance called faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. The fact that you have faith, can I prove it? Is there evidence? Well, do you believe in Jesus Christ? We had a young lady, Taylor, just make those great confessions. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I do. That's evidence. That's evidence that she has saving faith, that heaven is now hers, right now, at this moment, and that God looks at her as a sinless child, precious to him now and for all eternity. And it's the same with all of his children, you and me included. Definition of faith given here is simple. And even though we can't see faith with our eyes, we can know we have it. We can know because we know the substance is there, the evidence is there, because the Word of God is near and dear to our hearts and our faith just clings to it and believes and trusts it. It's sometimes called the hand of faith. It hopes for, it believes in things that aren't seen. When the rest of the world in public schools and our universities is teaching that the evolution, that the world started billions of years ago from a big bang, and ever since then it's been exploding out into the universe, and we're just kind of a happy chance happening of the right molecules coming together at the right time, our faith kicks in. Faith kicks in, and that's an example of faith. By faith, verse 3, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. This is I've always said, and you know it too. You read Genesis 1 and 2, how do we know that's true? Well, our faith believes it. The faith that God gave us. My faith grasps the truth that the world was created in 6 24-hour days. And really, the world, its age? Well, it's pretty easy to figure out. It's about 2,000 years from creation to the flood. It's about another 2,000 years from the flood to the time of Christ. And what's the year? 2015? About another 2,000 years. So give or take 100 years, the world is about 6,000 years old. Not hundreds of millions. Not billions. And there's ways to answer where the dinosaurs went and where all the, you know, how they age rocks with carbon dating. And there's answers for all of that. That those things aren't as scientific as you think they are. But it's our faith, really, what comes down to the reason why you believe what the Bible says. It's a thing. It's a present. It's God's gift to you. And these are examples of faith. In fact, this text says that by it, by that faith, the elders gave good testimony. That means that all the Old Testament patriarchs, from Adam all the way down to the time of Christ, the time of the writing of these verses in Hebrews, all of those men and women gave us good examples of their faith. They lived the life of faith. They told people that they were expecting a Messiah. They pointed to scripture passages and says, look, Genesis 3:15, right after the fall into sin, God promised that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. That's the first promise of a Savior. A no man involved birth of the Savior who would destroy the power that the devil had over us, would crush his head. Beautiful passages. And passages like that all throughout scriptures, because the whole Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. So you see, our faith believes that and believes all the examples that those patriarchs, those Old Testament patriarchs, recorded for us. How was David able to approach Goliath with just a slingshot and a little stone and a guy that's 10 or 12 feet tall, dressed in the full regalia of war, carrying a spear with a 12-pound spearhead and a shaft as big as a weaver's beam? How could he, that little shepherd boy, approach that giant warrior, that war machine? He had the gift of faith. He says he knew that the Lord would give him that day. In fact, David, the shepherd boy, ran at Goliath when the battle came down to it. He just believed by faith that the Lord would grant him success, that the Lord would give him this warrior that day. And it happened. What has the Lord promised you? Think of the huge promises that the Lord has given you. There are many in Kamiai who are facing a giant called fire and uncertainty and anxiety and are going through the same feelings that many have gone through when they face calamity. How will they get through it? Here's the example. Here's the reason. Here's the gift that will get them through it. Faith. Faith that God gave them to believe in His promises. Faith that says, when you walk through the fire, I will be with you. And the flames, they shall not scorch you, says the Lord. He says it. Our faith believes it. It was the same way with the Old Testament patriarchs. We're given the results of their faith in verses 8 to 16. God's gift of faith to them resulted in great things. Remember when God told Abraham to get up from where he lived and to go to a place that he would tell him about later? Can you imagine that? Packing up all your belongings, your household belongings, your family, get that moving van, you know, all ready to go, but you don't know where you're going. It's just that the Lord told you to pack it all up. Now you're gone. How could you do something like that? And the answer is by faith. Abraham did it. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. The promised land is what God gave to Abraham. That's the promise. I will give you and your descendants this land forever. The promised land, the inheritance. And Abraham and his children and grandchildren dwelt there, Isaac and Jacob. They did dwell in the promised land, in the region of that, the promised land, the place that the Lord would give them. Only they lived in tents. The Lord hadn't actually given it to them yet. That wouldn't happen until after Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they wandered the desert in Sinai for 40 years, and then they went into the promised land. And then finally, it wouldn't be set in stone until King David took over. So, way into the future, these things God told them, but Abraham obeyed. And by faith, it says in verse 9, he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreigner in a strange city. You know, even living in that land that was promised to him, he knew that there was something better coming. Just like when we read about the Old Testament patriarchs and the promised land that the Lord sent them to, we know that that's not the real promised land. That's just a picture. The promised land is heaven. The fact that you have been given saving faith that gets you to heaven. That's yours. And so, no matter how cozy and comfy a life we may have here, and it's been pretty good so far, even if you have to go through the loss of a home in fire, you still keep your life, you still get to rebuild. And our lives here won't hold a candle to what's laying ahead of us in our heavenly rest. And how do we believe that? By faith. In fact, the scripture says that these all died in faith. They all died believing in that promise. They saw afar off the things that were assured them. Your faith is just like the faith of these Old Testament patriarchs. They believed that the Messiah would come, that heaven would be theirs through him. Well, the Messiah has come. We haven't seen him, but our faith believes God's word, the same as their faith believed God's word. Our faith believes that we have a better country. Heaven is our home, not this earthly place. The Lord gives us what we need to get by in this earthly place and gives us our time of grace here so that we can tell others about his steadfast love and kindness, the gospel message, and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, so that we can baptize all nations, so that we can celebrate together his genuine body and blood, which we're going to do here in a few moments. The Lord gives us that blessing, his real presence under the bread and wine, and our faith believes that mystery. And even though our eyes don't see it, we know it's there. Now, I've been speaking of faith like an extra hand. And sometimes we put human personifications to faith. But you also have to think of, and sometimes we put eyes on faith too, right? The eyes of faith believe that. Like when a loved one is on his deathbed. And the eyes of our faith doesn't see the struggles that they're going through. It sees the nearness of their heavenly home and how sacred a time that is and how soon they will be with their heavenly Father. And it's the eyes of our faith that trust in the fact that those who have gone before us, those who have actually died temporal death, are alive and well in the care of their Savior Jesus Christ, and that one day we will all be reunited with them. These are examples of our faith, the gift that God has given us. We've got definitions, we've got examples, and the results is finally eternal life for us too. Helping hands, wouldn't we love to just pack it up in a bus and go up there and start hitting the fire line and put things out and help people? Well, remember, your faith believes that one of the greatest things you can do is pray, that God would send his rain, that God would strengthen those who are there right now and get them through another day of fighting fires, that God would provide with his gracious, loving care and opening of his hand all the needs that are going on in Kamiyai and Kuski and the Greer Grade and everywhere else there's a fire and terror breaking out. God is faithful, and the hand of faith which he has given you believes and trusts in the promise that all things work together for the good to those who love God. Faith believes. Martin Luther said, "Faith does not insist on knowing the reason for God's actions, but it still regards God as the greatest goodness and mercy. Faith holds to that against and beyond all reason, sense, and experience. When everything appears to be wrath and injustice, the eyes of our faith, which God has given us as a gift, look to his promises. And our faith is what will always cling to his word and the forgiveness of sins that we have in our gracious, loving God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen."